burst your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
We just played Velvet Dinosaurs and their latest hit, Eating the Plate. Now, let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Master Dirty Red Scum!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Bad. Kill! Filthy bastard Tommy! I hate him! I hate him!
Okay, well, You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and we're going to start a little bit earlier with Skald's Hall tonight because African Rhythms wasn't able to come with us. And we have a little bit to cover. Oh, by the way, just so that everybody knows, happy Chinese New Year. And we'll continue on with politics. We'll continue on attempting to have some fun with politics, at least. We're going to be taking a listen to the second part of that lovely Coriolanus radio play that's coming up right now. Let's get right into it.
Greetings, but with them, change of honors.
I have lived to see inherited my very wishes and the buildings of my fancy. Only there's one thing wanting, which I doubt not but our Rome will cast upon thee.
No, good mother. I had rather be their servant in my way than sway with them in theirs.
On to the capital.
All tongues speak of him. And the bleared sights are spectacle to see him. Your prattling nurse into a rapture lets her baby cry while she chats him. The kitchen Malkin pins her richest locker about her reachy neck, clambering the walls to eye him. Stalls, bulks, windows are smothered up, leads filled and ridges horsed with variable complexions, all agreeing in earnestness to see him. Seld shown flamens do press among the popular throngs and puff to win a vulgar station. How are veiled dames commit the war of white and damask in their nicely gauded cheeks to the wanton spoil of Phoebus' burning kisses? Such a pother! As if that whatsoever god who leads him were slyly crept into his human powers and gave him graceful posture.
On the sudden, I warrant him counsel.
Then our office may, during his power, go sleep.
He cannot temperately transport his honours from where he should begin and end, but will lose those he hath won.
In that there's comfort.
Doubt not, the commoners for whom we stand, but they upon their ancient malice will forget with the least cause these his new honours, which, that he will give them, make I as little question as he is proud to do't.
I heard him swear, were he to stand for consul, never would he appear at the marketplace, nor on him put the napless vesture of humility, nor showing, as the manner is, his wounds to the people, beg their stinking breath.
'Tis right.
It was his word. Oh, he would miss it rather than carry it. But by the suit of the gentry to him and the desire of the nobles,
I wish no better than have him hold that purpose and to put it in execution.
Is most like he will.
It shall be to him then as our good wills assure destruction.
So it must fall out to him, or our authorities for an end. We must suggest to the people in what hatred he still hath held of them, that to his power he would have made the mules, silenced their pleaders, and disprofited their freedoms, holding them in human action and capacity of no more soul nor fitness for the world than camels in their war, who have their provant only for bearing burthens, and sore blows for sinking under them.
This, as you say, suggested at some time when his soaring insolence shall touch the people, which time shall not want if he be put upon it, and that's as easy as to set dogs on sheep. Will be his fire to kindle their dry stubble, and their blaze shall darken him forever.
What's the matter?
You are sent for to the capital. It is thought that Martius shall be consul. I have seen the dumb men throng to see him and the blind to hear him speak. Matrons flung gloves, ladies and maids their scarves and handkerchiefs upon him as he passed. The nobles bended as to Jove's statue, and the commons made a shower and thunder with their caps and shouts. I never saw the like.
Let's to the capital, and carry with us ears and eyes for the time, but hearts for the event.
Have with you...
Come, they are almost here.
How many stand for consulships?
Three, they say, but 'tis thought of everyone Coriolanus will carry.
That's a brave fellow, but he's vengeance proud and loves not the common people.
Faith, there have been many great men that have flattered the people who ne'er loved them, and there be many that they have loved they know not wherefore, so that if they love they know not why, they hate upon no better ground. Therefore, for Coriolanus neither to care whether they love or hate him manifests the true knowledge he has in their disposition, and out of his noble carelessness lets them plainly see it.
Well, if he did not care whether he had their love or no, he waved indifferently twixt doing them neither good nor harm. But he seeks their hate with greater devotion than they can render it him, and leaves nothing undone that may fully discover him their opposite. Now, to seem to affect the malice and displeasure of the people is as bad as that which he dislikes, to flatter them for their love.
He hath deserved worthily of his country, and his ascent is not by such easy degrees as those who, having been supple and courteous to the people, bonneted without any further deed to have them at all into their estimation and report. But he hath so planted his honours in their eyes and his actions in their hearts, that for their tongues to be silent and not confess so much were a kind of ingrateful injury. To report otherwise were a malice that, giving itself the lie, would pluck proof and rebuke from every ear that heard it.
No more of him. He's a worthy man. Make way, they're coming.
Having determined of the Volsces and to send for Titus Lartius, it remains as the main point of this our after meeting to gratify his noble service that hath thus stood for his country. Therefore, please you, most reverend and grave elders, to desire the present consul and last general in our well-found successes to report a little of that worthy work performed by Caius Martius Coriolanus, whom we met here both to thank and to remember with honors like himself.
Speak, good Cominius. Leave nothing out for length, and make us think rather our state's defective for requital than we to stretch it out. Masters of the people, we do request your kindest ears, and after your loving motion toward the common body to yield what passes here.
We are convented upon a pleasing treaty, and have hearts inclinable to honor and advance the theme of our assembly.
Which the rather we shall be blessed to do if he remember a kinder value of the people than he hath hereto prized them at.
That's off. I would you rather had been silent. Please you to hear Cominius speak?
Most willingly. But yet my caution was more pertinent than the rebuke you give it.
He loves your people, but tie him not to be their bedfellow. Worthy Cominius, speak. Nay, keep your place.
Sit, Coriolanus. Never shame to hear what you have nobly done.
Your honor's pardon. I had rather have my wounds to heal again than hear say how I got them.
Sir, I hope my words dispensed you not.
No, sir. Yet oft, when blows have made me stay, I fled from words. You soothed not, therefore hurt not. But your people, I love them as they weigh...
Pray not, sit down.
I had rather have one scratch my head in the sun when the alarum was struck than idly sit to hear my nothings monstered.
Masters of the people, your multiplying spawn, how can he flatter that thousand to one good one, when you now see he'd rather venture all his limbs for honor than one on's ears to hear it? Proceed, Cominius.
I shall lack voice.
The deeds of Coriolanus should not be uttered feebly. It is held that valor is the chiefest virtue, and most dignifies the haver. If it be, the man I speak of cannot in the world be singly counterpoised. At 16 years, when Tarquin made a head for Rome, he fought beyond the mark of others. Our then dictator, whom with all praise I point at, saw him fight, when with his Amazonian chin he drove the bristled lips before him. He bestrid an oppressed Roman, and in the consul's view slew 3 opposers. Tarquin's self he met and struck him on his knee. In that day's feats, when he might act the woman in the scene, he proved best man in the field, and for his meed was brow-bound with the oak. His pupil age, man entered thus. He waxed like a sea, and in the brunt of 17 battles since, he lurched all swords of the garland. For this last, before and in Coriolis, let me say I cannot speak him home. He stopped the flyers, and by his rare example made the coward turn terror into sport. As weeds before a vessel under sail, so men obeyed and fell below his stem. His sword, death's stamp, where it did mark, it took. From face to foot, he was a thing of blood, whose every motion was timed with dying cries. Alone, he entered the mortal gate of the city, which he painted with shunless destiny. Aedlus came off, and with a sudden reinforcement, struck Coriolis like a planet. Now, all's his. When by and by the din of war gan pierce his ready sense, then straight his doubled spirit re-quickened what in flesh was fatigued, and to the battle came he, where he did run, reeking o'er the lives of men as if 'twere a perpetual spoil. Until we called both field and city ours, he never stood to ease his breast with panting.
Worthy man.
He cannot but with measure fit the honors which we devise him.
Our spoils he kicked at, and looked upon things precious as they were the common muck of the world. He covets less than misery itself would give, rewards his deeds with doing them, and is content to spend the time to end it.
He's right noble. Let him be called for.
Call Coriolanus.
He doth appear.
The Senate, Coriolanus, are well pleased to make thee consul.
I do owe them still my life and services.
It then remains that you do speak to the people.
I do beseech you, let me o'erleap that custom, for I cannot put on the gown, stand naked, and entreat them for my wounds' sake to give their suffrage. Please you that I may pass this doing.
Sir, the people must have their voices. Neither will they bate one jot of ceremony.
Put them not to it. Pray you, go fit you to the custom, and take to you, as your predecessors have, your honor with your form.
It is a part that I shall blush in acting, and might well be taken from the people.
Mark you that?
To brag unto them, thus I did, and thus show them the unaching scars which I should hide, as if I had received them for the hire of their breath only.
Do not stand upon it. We recommend to you, tribunes of the people, our purpose to them, and to our noble consul wish we all joy and honor.
To Coriolanus come all joy and honor.
To Coriolanus come all joy and honor.
He
you see how he intends to use the people?
May they perceive his intent. He will require them as if he did contemn what he requested should be in them to give.
Come, we'll inform them of our proceedings here. On the marketplace, I know they do attend us.
Voices, we ought not to deny him.
Now, we may, sir, if we will.
We have power in ourselves to do it, but it is a power that we have no power to do. For if he show us his wounds and tell us his deeds, we are to put our tongues into those wounds and speak for them. So if he tell us his noble deeds, we must also tell him our noble acceptance of them. And gratitude is monstrous, and for the multitude to be ungrateful, we're to make a monster of the multitude, of the which we, being members, should bring ourselves to be monstrous members.
And to make us no better thought of, a little help will serve. For once we stood up about the corn, he himself stuck not to call us the many-headed multitude.
Now, we have been called so of many. Not that our heads are some brown, some black, some abram, some bald, but that our wits are so diversely coloured. And truly, I think if all our wits were to issue out of one skull, they would fly east, west, north, south, and their consent of one direct way should be at once to all points of the compass.
Think you so? Which way do you judge my wit would fly?
Nay, your wit would not so soon out as another man's will. 'Tis strongly wedged up in a blockhead. But if it were at liberty, it would shore southward.
Why that way?
To lose itself in a fog. Where, being three parts melted away with rotten dews, the fourth would return for conscience sake to help to get thee a wife.
You're never without your tricks. You may.
Are you all resolved to give your voices?
Nay!
But that's no matter. The greater part carries it. I say if he would incline to the people, there was never a worthier man. Here he comes, and in the gown of humility, mark his behaviour. We are not to stay all together, but to come by him where he stands, by ones, by twos, and by threes. He's to make his requests by particulars, wherein every one of us has a single honour in giving him our own voices with our own tongues. Therefore, follow me, and I'll direct you how you shall go by him.
Oh, sir, you are not right. Have you not known the worthiest men have done't?
What must I say? I pray, sir, plague upon it. I cannot bring my tongue to such a pace. Look, sir, my wounds. I got them in my country's service when some certain of your brethren roared and ran from the noise of our own drums.
Oh, me the gods! You must not speak of that. You must desire them to think upon you.
Think upon me? Hang 'em. I would they would forget me like the virtues which our divines lose by 'em.
You'll mar all. I'll leave you. Pray you, speak to them, I pray you, in wholesome manner.
Bid them wash their faces and keep their teeth clean. So, here comes a brace. You know the cause, sir, of my standing here.
Oh, we do, sir. Tell us what hath brought you to it.
Mine own desert.
Your own desert?
Aye, not mine own desire.
How, not your own desire?
No, sir, it was never my desire yet to trouble the poor with begging.
Well, you must think if we give you anything, we hope to gain by you.
Well, then I pray your price of the consulship.
The price is to ask it kindly.
Kindly, sir, I pray, let me have it. I have wounds to show you, which shall be yours in private. Your good voice, sir, what say you?
You shall have it, worthy sir.
A match, sir. There's in all two worthy voices begged. I have your arms. Adieu.
But this is something odd.
And 'twere to give again, but 'tis no matter.
Pray you now, if it may stand with the tune of your voices that I may be consul, I have here the customary gown.
You have deserved nobly of your country, and you have not deserved nobly.
Your enigma?
You have been a scourge to her enemies. You have been a rod to her friends. You have not indeed loved the common people.
Oh, you should account me the more virtuous that I have not been common in my love. I will, sir, flatter my sworn brother, the people, to earn a dearer estimation of them. 'Tis a condition they account gentle. And since the wisdom of their choice is rather to have my hat than my heart, I will practice the insinuating nod and be off to them most counterfeitly. That is, sir, I will counterfeit the bewitchment of some popular man and give it bountiful to the desirers. Therefore, beseech you, I may be consul.
We hope to find you our friend, and therefore give you our voices heartily.
You have received many wounds for your country.
I will not seal your knowledge with showing them. I will make much of your voices, and so trouble you no farther.
The gods give you joy, sir.
They give you joy, sir, heartily.
Most sweet voices. Better it is to die, better to starve, than crave the hire which first we do deserve. Why, in this wolfish toque, should I stand here to beg of Hob and Dick that does appear their needless vouches? Custom calls me to it. What custom wills, in all things should we do't. The dust on antique time would lie unswept, and mountainous error be too highly heaped for truth to o'erpeer. Rather than fool it so, let the high office and the honour go to one that would do thus. I am half through. The one part suffered, the other will I do. Here come mo voices.
Your voices! For your voices I have fought, watched for your voices. For your voices, bearer of wounds, 24 odd battles, thrice 6 I have seen and heard of. For your voices have done many things, some less, some more. Your voices, indeed, I would be consul.
He has done nobly and cannot go without any honest man's voice.
Therefore, let him be consul. The gods give him joy and make him good friend to the people.
Amen.
Noble consul.
Worthy voices.
You have stood your limitation, and the tribunes endue you with the people's voice. Remains that in the official marks invested, you are none to meet the Senate.
Is this done?
The custom of request you have discharged. The people do admit you and are summoned to meet anon upon your approbation.
Where? At the Senate House?
There, Coriolanus.
May I change these garments?
You may, sir.
That I'll straight do, and knowing myself again, repair to the Senate House.
I'll keep you company. Will you along?
We stay here for the people.
Fare you well. He has it now, and by his looks methinks 'tis warm at heart.
With a proud heart he wore his humble wings. Will you dismiss the people?
How now, my masters? Have you chose this man?
He has our voices, sir.
We pray the gods he may deserve your love.
Amen, sir. To my poor unworthy notice, he mocked us when he begged our voices.
Right. Certainly he floated us downright.
No, it is his kind of speech. He did not mock us.
No, not one amongst us save yourself, but says he used us scornfully. He should have showed us his marks of merit, wounds received for his country.
Why, so he did, I'm sure.
No man saw him. He said he had wounds which he could show in private. And with his hat, thus waving it in scorn, I would be consul, says he. Aged custom, but by your voices will not so permit me. Your voices, therefore. When we granted that, here was... I thank you for your voices. Thank you, your most sweet voices. And now you have left your voices, I have no further with you. Was not this mockery?
Why, either were you ignorant to see it, or seeing it, of such childish friendliness to yield your voices?
Could you not have told him as you were lessoned? When he had no power but was a petty servant to the state, he was your enemy. Ever speak against your liberties and the charters that you bear the body of the wheel. And now,
arriving a place of potency and sway of the state. If he should still malignantly remain fast foe to the plebeii, your voices might be curses to yourselves. You should have said that as his worthy deeds did claim no less than what he stood for, so his gracious nature would think upon you for your vices and translate his malice towards you into love, sending your friendly lord.
Thus to have said, as you were foreadvised, had touched his spirit and tried his inclination, from him plucked either his gracious promise, which you might, as cause had called you up, have held him to, or else it would have galled his surly nature, which easily endures not article tying him to aught, so putting him to rage, you should have ta'en the advantage of his choler and passed him unelected.
Did you perceive he did solicit you in free contempt when he did need your loves? And do you think that his contempt shall not be bruising to you when he hath power to crush? Why had your bodies no heart among you? Or had you tongues to cry against the rectorship of judgment?
Have you ere now denied the asker? And now again, of him that did not ask, but mock, bestow your sued for tongue?
He's not confirmed. We may deny him yet.
And we'll deny him.
I'll have 500 voices of that sound.
Twice 500, and their friends to peace them.
You hence instantly, and tell those friends they have chose a consul that will from them take their liberties. Make them of no more voice than dogs that are as often beat for barking as therefore kept to do so.
Let them assemble, and on a safer judgment all revoke your ignorant election. Enforce his pride and his old hate unto you. Besides, forget not with what contempt he wore the humble weed, how in his suit he scorned you. But your loves, thinking upon his services, took from you the apprehension of his present portents, which most jibingly and gravely he did fashion after the inveterate hate he bears you.
Lay a fault on us, your tribunes, that we labored no impediment between, but that you must cast your election on him.
Say you chose him more after our commandment than as guided by your own true affections, and that your minds preoccupied with what you rather must do than what you should, made you against the grain to voice him consul. Lay the fault on us.
Aye, spare us not. Say, we read lectures to you, how youngly he began to serve his country, how long continued, and what stock he springs of. The noble house of the Martians, from whence came that Ancus Martius, Numa's daughter's son, who, after great Hostilius, here was king. Of the same house Publius and Quintus were, that our best water brought by Candace hither. And Censorinus, noble in name, but so twice, being by the people chosen censor, was his great ancestor.
One thus descended, that hath beside well in his person wrought to be set high in place, we did commend to your remembrances. But you have found, scaling his present bearing with his past, that he's your fixed enemy, and revoke your sudden approbation.
Say, you ne'er had dunt. Harp on that still, but by our putting on. And presently, when you have drawn your number, repair to the capital!
Almost all repeat the elections!
Let them go on. This mutiny were better put in hazard than stay past doubt for greater. If, as his nature is, he fall in rage with their refusal, both observe and answer the vantage of his anger.
To the capital come. We will be there before the stream of the people, and this shall seem, as partly 'tis, their own, which we have goaded onward.
Tullus Aufidius, then, had made new head.
He had, my lord, and that it was which caused our swifter composition.
So then the Volsces stand but as at first, ready when time shall prompt them to make road upon us again.
They are warned, Lord Consul, sir, that we shall hardly in our ages see their banners wave again.
Saw you, Aufidius?
On safe guard he came to me, and did curse against the Volsces, for they had so vilely yielded the town.
He is retired to Antium.
Spoke he of me?
He did, my lord.
How what?
How often he had met you, sword to sword. That of all things upon the earth he hated your person most. That he would pawn his fortunes to hopeless restitution, so he might be called your vanquisher.
At Antium lives he.
At Antium.
I wish I had a cause to seek him there, to oppose his hatred fully. Welcome home. Behold, these are the tribunes of the people, the tongues of the common mouth. I do despise them, for they do prank them in authority against all noble sufferance.
Pass no further.
Now, what is that?
It will be dangerous to go on no further.
What makes this change?
The matter. Hath he not passed the noble and the common?
Cominius. No.
Have I had children's voices?
Tribunes, give way. He shall to the marketplace.
The people are incensed against him.
Stop, or all will fall in broil.
Are these your herd? Must these have voices that can yield them now and straight disclaim their tongues? What are your offices? You being their mouths, why rule you not their teeth? Have you not set them on?
Be calm, be calm.
It is a purposed thing and grows by plot to curb the will of the nobility. Suffer it and live with such as cannot rule nor ever will be ruled.
Caught not a plot! The people cry you mocked them. And of late, when corn was given them gratis, you repined. Scandaled the suppliants for the people, called them time-pleasers, flatterers, foes to nobleness.
Why, this was known before.
Not to them all.
Have you informed them, Sithence?
How? I informed them.
You are like to do such business.
Not unlike. Each way to better yours.
Why then should I be consul? By yon clouds, let me deserve so ill as you and make me your fellow tribune.
You show too much of that for which the people stir. If you will pass to where you are bound, you must inquire your way, which you are out of, with a gentler spirit. Or never be so noble as a consul, nor yoke with him for tribune.
Let's be calm.
People are abused, set on. This paltering becomes not Rome, nor has Coriolanus deserved this so dishonored rub, laid falsely in the plain way of his merit.
Tell me of corn. This was my speech, and I will speak it again.
Not now, not now.
Not in this heat, sir, now.
Now, as I live, I will, my nobler friends. I crave their pardons. For the mutable, rank-scented meanie, let them regard me as I do not flatter, and therein behold themselves. I say again, in soothing them, we nourish against our senate the cockle of rebellion, insolence, sedition, which we ourselves have ploughed for, sowed, and scattered by mingling them with us, the honored number, who lack not virtue, no, nor power, but that which they have given to beggars.
Well, no more.
No more words. We beseech you.
Oh, no more. As for my country, I have shed my blood, not fearing outward force. So shall my lungs coy in words till their decay against those measles which we disdain should tetter us, yet sought the very way to catch them.
You speak of the people as if you were a god to punish, not a man of their infirmity.
'Twere well we let the people note.
What? What? Is collar?
Collar? Were I as patient as a midnight sleep, by Jove, 'twould be my mind.
It is a mind that shall remain a poison where it is, not poison any further.
Shall remain? Hear you this, Triton of the Minnows. Mark you his absolute shall.
'Twas from the cannon.
Shall? All good but most unwise patricians. Why, you grave but reckless senators, have you thus given Hydra here to choose an officer that with his peremptory shall, being but the horn and noise of the monsters, wants not spirit to say he'll turn your current in a ditch and make your channel his? If he have power, then veil your ignorance. If none, awake your dangerous lenity. If you are learned, be not as common fools. If you are not, let them have cushions by you. You are plebeians if they be senators, and they are no less when both your voices blended, the great taste most palates theirs. They choose their magistrate, and such a one as he who puts his shall, his popular shall, against a graver bench than ever frowned in Greece. By Jove himself, it makes the consuls base. And my soul aches to know when two authorities are up, neither supreme, how soon confusion may enter twixt the gap of both and take the one by the other.
Well, on to the marketplace.
Whoever gave that counsel to give forth the corn of the storehouse gratis as 'twas used sometime in Greece?
Well, no more of that.
Though there the people had more absolute power, I say they nourished disobedience, fed the ruin of the state.
Why shall the people give one that speaks thus their voice?
I'll give my reasons more worthier than their voices. They know the corn was not our recompense, resting well assured they ne'er did service for it. Being pressed to the war, even when the navel of the state was touched, they would not thread the gates. This kind of service did not deserve corn gratis. Being in the war, their mutinies and revolts, wherein they showed most valor, spoke not for them. The accusation which they have often made against the Senate, all cause unborn, could never be the native of our so frank donation. Well, what then? How shall this bosom, multiplied, digest the Senate's courtesy? Let deeds express what's like to be their words. We did request it. We are the greater pole, and in true fear they gave us our demands. Thus we debase the nature of our seats and make the rabble call our cares fears, which will in time break ope the locks of the Senate and bring in the crows to peck the eagles.
Enough.
Enough with overmeasure.
No, take more. What may be sworn by, both divine and human, seal what I end with all. This double worship, where one part does disdain with cause, the other insult without all reason, where gentry, title, wisdom cannot conclude but by the yea and no of general ignorance. It must omit real necessities and give way the while to unstable slightness. Purpose so barred, it follows nothing is done to purpose. Therefore, beseech you, you that will be less fearful than discreet, that love the fundamental part of state more than you doubt the change-ons, that prefer a noble life before a long, and wish to jump a body with a dangerous physic that's sure of death without it, at once pluck out the multitudinous tongue. Let them not lick the sweet which is their poison. Your dishonor mangles true judgment and bereaves the state of that integrity which should become it. Not having the power to do the good it would for the ill which doth control it.
Has said enough.
Has spoken like a traitor, and shall answer as traitors do.
Thou wretch, despite o'erwhelm thee. What should the people do with these bald tribunes on whom, depending, their obedience fails to the greater bench? In a rebellion, when what's not meet but what must be was law, then were they chosen. In a better hour, let what is meet be said it must be meet, and throw their power in the dust.
Manifest treason!
This a consul? No!
The aediles, ho! Let him be apprehended.
Go call the people. In whose name myself attach thee as a traitorous innovator, a foe to the public weal. Obey, I charge thee, and follow to thine answer.
Hence, old goat.
We'll shorty him.
Aged sir, hands off. Hence, rotten thing, or I shall shake thy bones out of thy garments.
Help ye, citizens!
On both sides, more respect.
Here's he that would take from you all your power.
To be. I am out of breath. Confusion's near. I cannot speak. You, tribunes to the people. Coriolanus, patience. Speak, good Sicinius.
Hear me, people. Peace. You are at point to lose your liberties. Marcius would have all from you. Marcius, whom late you have named for consul.
Fie. This is the way to kindle, not to quench.
To unbuild the city and to lay all flat.
What is the city but the people?
By the consent of all, we were established the people's magistrates. You surrender!
And so I like to do.
That is the way to lay the city flat, to bring the roof to the foundation and bury all, which yet distinctly ranges in heaps and piles of ruin.
This deserves death.
Or let us stand to our authority, or let us lose it. We do here pronounce upon the part of the people in whose power we were elected theirs. Marcius is worthy of present death.
Therefore, lay hold of him. Bear him to the rock Tarpeian, and from thence into destruction cast him.
Edile, seize him.
Hear me one word. Beseech you, tribunes, hear me but a word.
Peace.
Be that you seem truly your country's friend, and temperately proceed to what you would thus violently redress.
Sir, those cold ways that seem like prudent helps are very poisonous where the disease is violent. Lay hands upon him and bear him to the rock.
No, I'll die here. There's some among you have beheld me fighting. Come. Try upon yourselves what you have seen me.
Down with that sword, tribunes. Withdraw one.
Lay hands upon him.
Help, Marcius, help. You that be noble, help him, young and old. Go, get you to your house. Be gone, away. All will be naught else.
Get you gone.
Stand fast. We have as many friends as enemies.
Shall it be put to that?
The gods forbid. I prithee, noble friend, home to thy house. Leave us to cure this cause.
What is a sore upon us, you cannot tent yourself. Be gone, beseech you.
Come, sir, along with us.
I would they were barbarians as they are, though in Rome littered, not Romans as they are not, though carved in the porch of the Capitol.
Be gone. Put not your worthy rage into your tongue. One time will owe another.
On fair ground I could beat 40 of them.
I could myself take up a brace of the best of them. Yea, the two tribunes.
But now 'tis odds beyond arithmetic, and manhood is called foolery when it stands against a falling fabric. Will you hence before the tag return, whose rage doth rend like interrupted waters, and o'erbear what they are used to bear?
Will you be gone? I'll try whether my old wit be in request with those that have but little. This must be patched with cloth of any color.
Nay, come away.
This man has marred his fortune.
His nature is too noble for the world. He would not flatter Neptune for his trident, or Jove for his power to thunder. His heart, his mouth, what his breast forges, that his tongue must vent, and, being angry, does forget that ever he heard the name of death. Here's goodly work.
I would they were abed.
I would they were in Tiber. What the vengeance! Could he not speak them fair?
Where is this viper that would depopulate the city and be every man himself?
You worthy tribunes!
He shall be thrown down the Tarpeian rock with rigorous hands. He hath resisted law, and therefore law shall scorn him further trial than the severity of the public power which he so sets at naught.
He shall well know the noble tribunes are the people's mouths, and we their hands.
Sir,
peace!
Do not cry havoc where you should but hunt with modest warrant.
Sir, how comes that you have help to make this rescue?
Hear me speak. As I do know the consul's worthiness, so can I name his fault.
Consul? What consul?
The consul Coriolanus.
The consul?
By the tribune's leave and yours, good people, I may be heard. I would crave a word or two, the which shall turn you to no further harm than so much loss of time.
Speak briefly, then, for we are peremptory to dispatch this viperous traitor. To eject him hence were but our danger, and to keep him here our certain death. Therefore it is decreed he dies tonight.
The good gods forbid that our renowned Rome, whose gratitude towards her deserved children is enrolled in Jove's own book, like an unnatural dam, should now eat up her own.
He's a disease that must be cut away.
He's a limb that has but a disease, mortal to cut it off, to cure it easy. What has he done to Rome that's worthy death? Killing our enemies. The blood he hath lost
chest, which I dare vouch is more than that he hath by many an ounce, he dropped it for his country. And what is left to lose it by his country were to us all that do it and suffer it a brand to the end of the world.
This is clean cab.
Merely awry. When he did love his country, it honored him.
The service of the foot, being once gangrened, is not then respected for what before it was.
We'll hear no more. Pursue him to his house and pluck him thence, lest his infection, being of catching nature, spread further.
One word more, one word. This tiger-footed rage, when it shall find the harm of unscanned swiftness, will too late tie leaden pounds to seals. Proceed by process, lest parties, as he is beloved, break out and sack great Rome with Romans.
If it were so.
What do you talk? Have we not had a taste of his obedience?
Aye.
Our aediles smote, ourselves resisted. Curse!
Consider this. He has been bred of the wars since I could draw a sword, and is ill-schooled in bolted language. Meal and bran together he throws without distinction. Give me leave. I'll go to him and undertake to bring him where he shall answer by a lawful form in peace to his utmost peril.
Noble tribunes, it is the humane way. The other course will prove too bloody, and the end of it unknown to the beginning.
Noble Menenius, be you then as the people's officer, masters. Lay down your weapons.
Go not home.
Meet on the marketplace. We'll attend you there. Where, if you bring not Martius, we'll proceed in our first way.
No! I'll bring him to you. Let me desire your company. He must come, or what is worst will follow.
Pray you, let's to him.
Pull all about mine ears, present me death on the wheel or at wild horse's heels, or pile 10 hills on the Tarpeian rock that the precipitation might downstretch below the beam of sight. Yet will I still be thus to them.
You do the nobler.
I muse my mother does not approve me further, who was wont to call them woolen vassals, things created to buy and sell with groats, to show bare heads in congregations, to yawn, be still, and wonder when one but of my ordinance stood up to speak of peace. Or war.
I talk of you. Why did you wish me milder? Would you have me false to my nature? Rather say I play the man I am.
Oh, sir. I would have had you put your power well on before you had worn it out.
Let's go.
You might have been enough the man you are, with striving less to be so. Lesser had been the taxings of your dispositions if you had not showed them how you were disposed ere they lacked power to cross you.
Let them hang.
Aye, and burn too.
Come. You have been too rough. Something too rough. You must return and mend it.
There's no remedy, unless by not so doing our good city cleave in the midst and perish.
Pray be counseled. I have a heart as little apt as yours, but yet a brain that leads my use of anger to better vantage.
Well said, noble woman. Before he should thus stoop to the herd, but that the violent fit of the time craves it as physic for the whole state, I would put mine armor on, which I can scarcely bear.
What must I do?
Return to the tribunes.
Well, what then? What then?
Repent what you have spoke.
For them? I cannot do it to the gods. Must I then do it to them?
You are too absolute. Though therein you can never be too noble, but when extremities speak. I have heard you say honor and policy, like unsevered friends, in the war do grow together. Grant that, and tell me in peace what each of them by the other lose, that they combine not there.
Tush.
A good demand.
If it be honor in your wars to seem the same you are not, which for your best end you adopt your policy, how is it less or worse that it shall hold companionship in peace with honor as in war, since that to both it stands in like request?
Why force you this?
Because that now it lies you on to speak to the people, not by your own instruction, nor by the matter which your heart prompts you, but with such words that are but roted in your tongue, though but bastards and syllables of no allowance to your bosom's truth. Now this no more dishonors you at all than to take in a town with gentle words, which else would put you to your fortune and the hazard of much blood. I would dissemble with my nature where my fortunes and my friends at stake required I should do so in honor. I am in this your wife, your son, these senators, the nobles. And you will rather show our general lout how you can frown and spend a fawn upon him for the inheritance of their loves and safeguard of what that want might ruin.
Noble lady, come, go with us, speak fair. You may salve so not what is dangerous present, but the loss of what is past.
I prithee now, my son, go to them with this bonnet in thy hand, and thus far having stretched it, here be with them, thy knee bussing the stones. For in such business action is eloquence, and the eyes of the ignorant more learned than the ears. Waving thy head, which often thus correcting thy stout heart, now humble as the ripest mulberry that will not hold the handling. Or say to them, thou art their soldier, and being bred in broils, hast not the soft way which, thou dost confess, were fit for thee to use as they to claim in asking their good loves. But thou wilt frame thyself, forsooth, hereafter theirs, so far as thou hast power and person.
This but done, even as she speaks, why, their hearts were yours, for they have pardons being asked, as free as words to little purpose.
Prithee now, go and be ruled. Although I know thou hadst rather follow thine enemy in a fiery gulf than flatter him in a bower. Here is Cominius.
I have been in the marketplace, and, sir, 'tis fit you make strong party, or defend yourself by calmness or by absence. All's in anger.
Only fair speech.
I think 'twill serve if he can thereto frame his spirit.
He must and will. Prithee now, say you will and go about it.
Must I go show them my unbarbed sconce? Must I, with my base tongue, give to my noble heart a lie that it must bear? Well, I will do it. Yet were there but this single plot to lose, this mould of Martius, they to dust should grind it and throw it against the wind. To the marketplace! You have put me now to such a part which never I shall discharge to the life.
Come, come, we'll prompt you.
I prithee now, sweet son, as thou hast said, my praises made thee first a soldier. So to have my praise for this, perform a part thou hast not done before.
Well, I must do it. Away my disposition, and possess me some harlot's spirit. My throat of war be turned, which quired with my drum, into a pipe, small as an eunuch, or the virgin voice that babies lulls asleep. The smiles of knaves tent in my cheeks, and schoolboys' tears take up the glasses of my sight. A beggar's tongue make motion through my lips, and my armed knees, who bowed but in my stirrup, bend like his that hath received an alms.
I will not do it! Lest I surcease to honor mine own truth, and by my body's action teach my mind a most inherent baseness.
At thy choice, then, to beg of thee, it is my more dishonor than thou of them. Come all to ruin. Let thy mother rather feel thy pride than fear thy dangerous stoutness, for I mock at death with as big heart as thou. Do as thou list. Thy valiantness was mine, thou suck'st it from me. But owe thy pride thyself.
Pray, be content. Mother, I am going to the marketplace. Chide me no more. I'll mountebank their loves, cog their hearts from them, and come home beloved of all the trades in Rome. Look, I am going. Commend me to my wife. I'll return, consul, or never trust to what my tongue can do with a way of flattery further.
Do your will.
Away! The tribunes do attend you. Arm yourself to answer mildly, for they are prepared with accusations, as I hear, more strong than are upon you yet.
The word is mildly, pray you, let us go. Let them accuse me by invention, I will answer in mine honor.
Aye, but mildly.
Well, mildly be it then. Mildly.
In this point, charge him home, that he affects tyrannical power. If he evade us there, enforce him with his envy to the people, and that the spoil got on the Antiates was ne'er distributed. What will he come?
He's coming.
How accompanied?
With old Menenius and those senators that always favored him.
Have you a catalogue of all the voices that we have procured set down by the poll?
I have. Tis ready.
Have you collected them by tribes?
I have.
Assemble presently the people hither, and when they hear me say, it shall be so if the right and strength of the commons, be it either for death, for fine, or banishment, then let them, if I say fine, cry fine, if death, cry death, insisting on the old prerogative and power in the truth of the cause.
I shall inform them.
And when such time they have begun to cry, let them not cease, but with a din confused, enforce the present execution of what we chance to sentence.
Very well.
Make them be strong and ready for this hint when we shall hap to gift them.
Go about it. Put him to collar straight. He hath been used ever to conquer and to have his worth of contradiction. Being once chafed, he cannot be reined again to temperance. Then he speaks what's in his heart, and that is there which looks with us to break his neck.
Well, here he comes.
Calmly, I do beseech you.
Aye, as an ostler that for the poorest piece will bear the knave by the volume. Be honored, gods, keep Rome in safety, and the chairs of justice supplied with worthy men. Plant love amongst. Throng our large temples with the shows of peace, and not our streets with war.
Amen, amen.
A noble wish.
Draw near, ye people.
List your tribunes. Audience, peace, I say.
First hear me speak.
Let's hear peace.
Peace.
Shall I be charged no further than this present? Must all determine here?
I do demand, if you submit you to the people's voices, allow their officers and are content to suffer lawful censure for such faults as shall be proved upon you.
I am content.
No, citizens, he says he is content. The warlike service he has done, consider. Think upon the wounds his body bears, which show like graves in the holy churchyard.
Scratches with briars, scars to move laughter only.
Consider further that when he speaks not like a citizen, you find him like a soldier. Do not take his rougher accents for malicious sounds, but, as I say, such as become a soldier rather than envy you.
Well, well, no more. What is the matter? That being passed for consul with full voice, I am so dishonored that the very hour you take it off again.
Answer to us.
Say, then, 'tis true, I ought so.
We charge you that you have contrived to take from Rome all seasoned office, aye, and to wind yourself into a power tyrannical, aye, for which you are a traitor to the people.
How? Aye, sir. Traitor?
Temperately, your promise.
The fires of the lowest hell fold in the people. Call me their traitor, thou injurious tribune. Within thine eyes sat 20,000 deaths, in thy hands clutched as many millions. In thy lying tongue, both numbers, I would say, thou liest unto thee with a voice as free as I do pray the gods.
Mark you this, people.
To the rock with them.
We need not put new matter to his charge. What you have seen him do and heard him speak, beating your officers, cursing yourselves, aye, opposing laws with strokes, and here defying those whose great power must try him. Even this, so criminal and in such capital kind, deserves the extremest death.
But since he hath served well for Rome.
What do you prate of service?
I talk of that knowing.
You!
Is this the promise that you made your mother?
No, I pray you.
I'll know no further. Let them pronounce the steep Tarpeian death, vagabond exile, flaying, pent to linger, but with a grain a day. I would not buy their mercy at the price of one fair word, nor check my courage for what they can give to have with saying good morrow.
For that he has, as much as in him lies, from time to time,
envied against the people, seeking means to pluck away their power, has now at last given hostile strokes, and that not in the presence of dreaded justice, but on the ministers that doth distribute it in the name of the people and in the power of us, the tribunes. We, even from this instant, banish him, our city, in peril of precipitation from off the rock Tarpeian, never more to enter our Rome gates. In the people's name, I say it shall be so.
It shall be so.
And my common friend?
He's sentenced. No more hearing.
Let me speak. I have been consul and can show for Rome her enemies' marks upon me. I do love my country's good with a respect more tender, more holy and profound than mine own life. My dear wife's estimate, her womb's increase, and treasure of my loins. Then, if I would speak that...
We know your drift. Speak what?
There's no more to be said, but he is banished as enemy to the people and his country. It shall be so.
It shall be so. It shall be
so. Common cry of curs, whose breath I hate as reek of the rotten fens, whose loves I prize as the dead carcasses of unburied men that do corrupt my air, I banish you. And here remain with your uncertainty. Let every feeble rumor shake your hearts. Your enemies, with nodding of their plumes, fan you into despair, have the power still to banish your defenders, till at length your ignorance, which finds not till it feels, making but reservation of yourselves, still your own foes, deliver you as most abated captives to some nation that won you without blows, despising for you the city. Thus I turn my back. There is a world elsewhere.
The people's enemy is gone. Is gone.
Let a guard attend us through the city.
Come, leave your tears. A brief farewell. The beast with many heads butts me away. Nay, mother, where is your ancient courage? You were used to say extremities was the trier of spirits, that common chances, common men could bear, that when the sea was calm, all boats alike showed mastership in floating. Fortune's blows, when most struck home, being gentle, wounded, craves a noble cunning. You were used to load me with precepts that would make invincible the hearts that conned them.
Oh, heavens! Oh, heavens!
Nay, I prithee, woman.
Now the red pestilence strike all trades in Rome and occupations. Perish.
What? I shall be loved when I am lacked? Nay, mother, resume that spirit when you were wont to say, if you had been the wife of Hercules, six of his labors you'd have done and saved your husband so much sweat. Cominius, droop not. Adieu. Farewell, my wife, my mother. I'll do well yet. Thou old and true Menenius, thy tears are salter than a younger man's and venomous to thine eyes. My sometime general, I have seen thee stern, and thou hast oft beheld heart-hardening spectacles. Tell thee, sad women, 'tis fond to wail inevitable strokes as 'tis to laugh at them. My mother, you wot well, my hazard still have been your solace, and belief not likely, though I go alone, like to a lonely dragon that his fen makes feared and talked of more than seen, your son,
will or exceed the common or be caught with cautelous baits and practice.
My first son, whither wilt thou go? Take good Cominius with thee a while. Determine on some course, more than a wild exposure to each chance that starts either way before
thee. Oh, the gods. I'll follow thee a month. Devise with thee where thou shalt rest, that thou mayst hear of us and we of thee. So if the time thrust forth a cause for thy repeal, we shall not send o'er the vast world to seek a single man and lose advantage, which doth ever cool in the absence of the needle.
Fare ye well. Thou hast years upon thee, and thou art too full of the war's surfeits to go rove with one that's yet unbruised. Bring me but out at gate. Come, my sweet wife, my dearest mother, and my friends of noble touch, when I am forth, bid me farewell. And smile. I pray you, come. While I remain above the ground, you shall hear from me still, and never of me aught but what is like me formerly.
That's worthily as any ear can hear. Come, let's not weep. If I could shake off but 1 7 years from these old arms and legs, by the good gods, I'd with thee every foot.
Give me thy hand. Come.
Bid them all home. He's gone, and we'll no further. The nobility are vexed, whom we see have sided in his behalf.
Now we have shown our power. Let us seem humbler after it is done than when it was a doing.
Bid them home. Say their great enemy is gone, and they stand in their ancient strength.
Dismiss them home, sir. Here comes his mother.
Let's not meet her.
Why?
They say she's mad.
They have ta'en note of us. Keep on your way.
Oh, you are well met. The hoarded plague of the gods requite your love.
Peace, peace. Be not so loud.
If that I could for weeping, you should hear. Nay, and you shall hear some. Will you be gone?
You shall stay too. I would I had the power to say so to my husband.
Are you mankind?
Aye, fool, is that a shame? Note but this fool. Was not a man my father? Hadst thou foxship to banish him that struck more blows for Rome than thou hast spoken words?
Oh, blessed heaven!
More noble blows than ever thou wise words, and for Rome's good. I'll tell thee what. Yet go! Nay! But thou shalt stay too. I would my son were in Arabia, and thy tribe before him, his good sword in his hand.
What then?
What then? He'd make an end of thy posterity.
Bastards and all! Good man, the wounds that he does bear for Rome!
Come, come, peace!
I would he had continued to his country as he began, and not unknit himself the noble knot he made.
I would he had.
I would he had. 'Twas you incensed the rabble. Cats that can judge as fitly of his worth as I can of those mysteries which heaven will not have earth to know.
Pray, let us go.
Now, pray, sir, get you gone. You have done a brave deed. Here you go! Hear this. As far as doth the capital exceed the meanest house in Rome, so far, my son, this lady's husband here, this do you see, whom you have banished, does exceed you all.
Well, well, we'll leave you.
Why stay we to be baited with one that wants our wits?
Take my prayers with you. I would the gods had nothing else to do but to confirm my curses. Could I meet him but once a day, it would unclog my heart of what lies heavy to it.
You have told them home, and by my troth you have cause. You'll sup with me.
Anger's my meat. I sup upon myself, and so shall starve with feeding. Come, let's go. Leave this faint puling, and lament as I do, in anger, Juno-like. Come, come, come.
Fine.
Your name, I think, is Adrian?
It is so, sir. Truly, I have forgot you.
I am a Roman, and my services are, as you are, against them. Know you me yet?
Nicanor, no?
The same, sir.
You had more beard when I last saw you, but your favour is well appeared by your tongue. Now, what's the news in Rome? I have a note from the Volscian state to find you out there. You have well saved me a day's journey.
There have been in Rome strange insurrections. The people against the senators, patricians and nobles.
Have been? Is it ended then? Our state thinks not so. They are in a most warlike preparation and hope to come upon them in the heat of their division.
The main blaze of it is past, but a small thing would make it flame again. For the nobles receive so to heart the banishment of that worthy Coriolanus that they are in a ripe aptness to take all power from the people and to pluck from them their tribunes forever. This lies glowing, I can tell you, and is almost mature for the violent breaking out.
Coriolanus banished?
Banished, sir.
You will be welcome with this intelligence, Nicanor.
The day serves well for them now. I've heard it said, the fittest time to corrupt a man's wife is when she's fallen out with her husband. Your noble Tullus Aufidius will appear well in these wars, his great opposer Coriolanus being now in no request of his country.
He cannot choose. I am most fortunate thus accidentally to encounter you. You have ended my business, and I will merrily accompany you home.
I shall, between this and supper, tell you most strange things from Rome, all tending to the good of their adversaries. Have you an army ready, say you?
A most royal one. The centurions and their charges distinctly billeted, already in the entertainment, and to be on foot at an hour's warning.
I'm joyful to hear of their readiness, and am the man, I think, that shall set them in present action. So, sir, heartily well met, and most glad of your company.
You take my part from me, sir. I have the most cause to be glad of yours.
Well, let us go together.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
And that's all the time that we're going to have for Scald's Hall tonight. Next week, we're going to be preempted with a little bit of special programming. And so we're going to follow up with the final act of Coriolanus and Fun with Politics the week after. That'll be February 10th. February 3rd, as I said, will be preempted. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, please enjoy your weekend.
It's time to unlock the bathroom door and talk about Crohn's and colitis. They're lifelong diseases. They're on the rise among children under 10, and they involve severe abdominal pain, chronic diarrhea, and for many people, life-altering surgery. They're mired in secrecy and embarrassment, ignorance and fear, which only adds to the pain. It's time to make it stop. Crohn's and colitis. Make it stop for life. Visit crohnsandcolitis.ca.